better get in the Word. Are you ready for the Word this morning? Turn in your Bibles with me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 this time. Colossians chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 8, beware. That means to be on guard, right? Lest any man spoil you, take what you own, take what belongs to you, steal your stuff. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Here God gives a list through Paul of things that can spoil you. I don't know about you, I don't like being spoiled. I don't even like spoiled kids. Thought I'd throw that one in. Amen. I don't like anybody being able to steal my stuff. I don't like the devil being able to take from me. Right? And he says here, after philosophy, through philosophy. You know what philosophy is? Philosophy is trying to think or produce out of man's soul's comprehension of universal truths. Is trying to produce understanding of creation without God's involvement. Amen. Why is there air? Bill Cosby answered that question 50 years ago. To blow up volleyballs. Amen. After vain deceit, when you get caught up doing things your way, it's all about you, It's after, you know, what you can produce, what you can accomplish, that will cause you to become spoiled. The traditions of men, even in the church, is we live by tradition versus being led of the Spirit. That will cause you to be spoiled. But then he says, and the rudiments of this world. That's where we're going in this. The rudiments of this world mean the basic principles of the world. What the rudiments are, I believe, bring us back to the laws of physics, to the laws of how the natural world operates. And the way you get spoiled by that is you live subject only to the laws of this world, and you don't learn how to access the power available in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You know, Mike will tell you, right here, yesterday I prayed that we would not get rained on. And all day it looked like we were about to get soaked. And every time we were about to get soaked, there'd be a station. We'd duck in. We had one time it rained for about 15 minutes. We ducked in a station. But we didn't get rained on. Clouds passed. We went on and stayed dry. My bike came home last night the cleanest has ever come from a trip. With rain all around. Amen. Well, came to my house, is not home anymore. Make that clear. But we prayed, we believed, we received. Amen. But all day when it looked like rain, I said, I'm not putting a rain suit on, I've prayed. Because faithful works is dead being alone. Now these guys, if they put the rain suits on, if it rained behind me and got them wet, that's a different thing, I don't know. But I said, I'm not putting my rain suit on because I believe I've received. In other words, I'm activating faith in a higher realm. And when you only have faith in the basic principles of the world, the rudiments of this world, it will cause you to become spoiled because you have nothing to overcome the powers of darkness, nothing to overcome the power of the curse that's going to spoil you. So God's letting us know that there are rudiments based in something else than this world. I mean, you're gonna have to place your belief in rudiments of something. I mean, to survive, you've got to have something you believe is going to, you know, produce. Are you following this so far? And here it says, don't place your faith in the rudiments of this world. There must be another world that you can place your faith in. And that's the kingdom of heaven. and there are laws that govern the functioning of the kingdom of heaven. Now, everybody here has been coming to these meetings, so I don't have to spend another 30 minutes reviewing. But we're talking about how to access power of another kingdom. And just like this realm is predictable, repeatable, established, there's another kingdom this realm was produced out of that's more reliable, equally repeatable, and unshakably established. This world will pass away and everything in it, but the kingdom of God abideth forever. And God wants us to learn how that kingdom functions. Jesus came to teach how the kingdom of God operates. And if we'll learn these laws, these spiritual laws, in other words, spiritual principles, we can see the power of that kingdom manifested in our lives. Amen. Seed being one of those principles. We've already covered quite a few of these. And the first one we looked at was seed, sowing and reaping, right? Then we looked at seed replication. Seed produces after itself. That's why I've got motorcycles coming, as well as other breakthroughs. Because the main reason I sowed was not for motorcycles. My heart is for breakthrough in every area of this church, our ministry, our lives, everything. But I know seed produced after itself, there's going to be bikes come out of it because I like motorcycles. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll get one with 47 wheels on it. My wife will ride with me on. And so we're looking through different principles of the kingdom one at a time, not in total depth, but to get an idea of how this principle, if we'll activate it, will bring us into the blessing of the kingdom of God. So because I believe most people here, if not everybody, has already heard us go through the list, we're not going to do that again this morning. Let's go straight to today's lesson. That sounds good, doesn't it? Turn to Malachi chapter 3. And I bet almost everybody here knows where we're going. Malachi chapter 3. Let's go to verse number 10. It says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now here, we're going to talk about the principle of tithing. You know, right now, tithing is almost a dirty word within the church because we're in the middle of a prosperity movement, a prosperity revival. So there's a counter movement against it saying, well, those people are just after your money, when actually we're just preaching what the Word says, that God says everything you put your hand to will prosper. Right. If you meditate Word day and night. If you meditate Word day and night, then you're going to learn the principles of the kingdom and you'll do what it's necessary, is required to prosper. Amen. And here we see tithing discussed, that God says blessings will follow the tither. Now understand, there are people now attacking tithing saying, well, tithing is of the law. Well, so is do not murder. That doesn't mean you can go around killing people and it doesn't matter, because murdering is also a spiritual principle. Amen. You lay your hand to somebody's life and there will be ramifications on your life. Amen. I understand if you killed people. However many, you know, if you killed 14, 15 people, anybody kill 14 or 15 in here? Last night I said, has anybody here killed anybody? And a hand went up. I said, oh Lord, what do I do now? It's the first time that happened. I said, Lou, if you kill anybody, he wouldn't answer. I would need to leave that one alone. He said, yep. So praise God. But So anybody here kill 14 or 15 people would just play it safe. That's why I said that. Because some of you, you know, hey, it's questionable. You get saved, the blood covers that. But you can't keep killing people and thinking it's going to be okay. Well, I just repent. I know I killed them last night, but I repent today. I feel bad, Jesus. Forget. It doesn't work like that. There are ramifications to certain things. So there are things that are in the law that you still can't do today. Because the law, much of the law describes not only what God says have ramifications, but they're spiritual principles. And tithing, although it was in the law, is a spiritual principle. Tithing predated the law. And tithing postdates the law, right? In fact, in Hebrews chapter 7, it refers to the ordinance of tithing. Well, an ordinance refers also, I believe, back to a principle. Amen. So Jesus going to the cross did not do away with the spiritual principles. If you study through the New Testament, you're going to find that many of the principles of the law are repeated as New Testament commands. Because they're not just something God said, you need to do this. They were a principle that dictates harvest coming back based on how you respond to that ordinance. Amen? And so tithing is still in place today. Not as a law, but as a principle. If we were to back up a few verses, he says you're cursed with a curse because you don't tithe. In other words, because you're not involved in tithing, you have not activated the principle that puts covering over your life and keeps you out from under the curse. And I choose to be undercover. So I want to read back through this in this passage and spend a little bit of time on looking at what tithing does for us. So go back to verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Now, in Old Testament days, when they would bring their tithe to the storehouse, they would bring their lambs and their goats and their cows, you know, their livestock. They would bring their grain supplies, and they would tithe the tenth of it. Well, guess what happened to most of that? The priests ate it. The Levites were not given an inheritance. They were given no lands to possess. They couldn't possess normal jobs. So what happened was God says, I'm giving the Levites the tithe as their inheritance. So when you brought the tenth in, that tenth went to feed the Levites. They ate those sacrifices, most of them. Some were burnt all the way up. You follow me? The burnt sacrifice burnt all the way up. But most were consumed by the priests. So God says, you need to bring it so my priests have something to eat. Your tithes are used to put food on my table. In part. Now my seed brings in my harvest. You follow me? But part of my harvest are the tithes, the salary I take out of the tithe. As minimal as it is. When we get paid. But that's for meat on my table. But I believe there's a deeper meaning to that passage. Hold this spot and turn to 1 Corinthians. And we've taught this many times, so I know you know this, but it's good to hear it again. It'll reinforce it in you, right? Thank you for that one amen. The enthusiasm overwhelmed me there just for a minute. Just kidding. We want new revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. He says in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I wanted to speak to you as adults, spiritual, mature Christians, but I've got to speak to you as a baby in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it, neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? He said, because I see strife and division in your church. No covenant understanding. I've had to bring you milk and I can't give you meat. I believe it's a spiritual principle that if a church is not a tithing church, amen, the people aren't tithing, then what happens is God can't bring them spiritual meat. They've got to keep receiving the same milk. You know, my wife won't eat the same meal 2 days in a row other than cereal. Cereal in the morning, cereal in the evening, cereal in the afternoon. She eats cereal all the time. And the same cereal. I'll say, would you like to go and eat? Yeah. I said, how about we go eat, you know, let's go eat hamburgers. No, I had a hamburger 2 days ago. How about we go to Italian? I had Italian yesterday. Where do you want to go? Let's go to eat Mexican. That's usually her stock answer. Amen. She won't eat the same thing twice in a row. Can you imagine a baby, the same meal every meal? Milk, milk, milk. You talk about getting old. Can you imagine the wilderness manna for 40 years? How many ways can you make manna? Baked manna? Boiled manna? Amen. Manna pot pie. Of course, the insides are made of manna and the crust is made of manna, but it's all manna, right? 40 years of manna. She would have died in the wilderness. We like variety. And you know what it's like to have milk preaching? Because I've been in milk preaching churches. Every sermon's the same. God's angry with you. Come and get saved. Come to the altar. You can get saved. Or, you know the love of God. Know God loves you. Come and get saved. And there's never any stretching or growing spiritually. Because a child, once they reach a certain age, they need to get off of milk to grow. I mean, you see a 16-year-old and they got a ninny bottle and it's the same thing every day. Milk crusted on their beard, you know. Something's wrong. And meat, the deep truths of the Word ministered, cause us to grow up, become a full age, full strength. And I can't even watch television with milk preaching anymore. I mean, it used to be fine. I could listen to TV. I mean, watch TV, listen to the radio, and whatever milk, I would hate sucking it up as a baby Christian. But there came a time I've got to have meat. I've got something to take me deeper into the kingdom, right? And here it says the tither, he says, tithe so there shall be meat in mine house. The tithing church has a right for the windows of heaven to be opened over them and receive the deep truths of the Word. So a church where most people tithe, if not everybody, has a right to receive meat. A church where most people aren't tithing, I believe, impact that ability to receive meat. And I might say this as well. This church tithes itself. We tithe to Grace Ministries, headquarters of Grace Maine, to Grace Ministries. Because I want tithing activated in every part of this church. So we tell people, you want to be a member of this church? We have two requirements, attendance and the tithe. And you may have been coming for 20 years, but if you're not tithing, we consider you a visitor still because we want 100% tithing. Now, we don't say this legalistic. If you're still getting the revelation, hopefully after 20 years you've gotten it. But I want to be able to go before God and God say, everybody in my church tithes. And he said, what about those four over there? They're not part of my church. They just come. And I want to go to God and know I've tithed out of this church to honor His kingdom. Because the windows being opened, meat coming forth, is vital to go into the glory. You can't go into the glory on milk. Amen? And you know, and meat will stretch you sometimes too. Bishop, did you ever get such a big piece of meat in your mouth you couldn't hardly chew it? Couldn't hardly swallow it? I don't want you guys to be choking on the Word all the time. that God's bringing forth such revelation, you go home and say, man, that really stretched me. I didn't know all that. Because if He can't stretch us, we're not going to grow. Do you remember when your teenagers were growing up and they had those growing pains? Whatever age. They're going through a growth and they'd have those pains in the joints and stuff. And you call them growing pains. When you're growing in revival, there'll be growing pains. Not that you physically get hurt, but your soul's being stretched. Amen. I had some growing pains last week. You know, that was far from the biggest thing we've ever sown. I think quitting your job counts for something. Amen. Signing oral stock options counts for something. Sowing five cars and whatever counts for something. But that was a precious seed. But I got to have meat in my house. And when you start getting meat, God's going to stretch you in areas. Amen. Sometimes you got to be willing to be that living sacrifice and crawl on the altar and say, God, let's do this to advance. Amen. Yesterday was putting an Isaac on the altar for me. Hallelujah. I kept saying, God, anytime you want to resurrect him and, you know, reverse this thing, go ahead. It didn't happen. Amen. But Isaac, it says in Romans 4, was fully persuaded that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Motorcycles are coming. Amen. Hallelujah. I want a chopper too. Praise God. Touring bike. A sport bike. More sport like a V-Rod. And a chopper. I got to keep getting carried away here. Amen. So again, when Patty says I'm snoring, I'm just dreaming I'm on my motorcycle. Back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. You are bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Here's one of the areas God says in the Word to put him to the test. Put him to the test. Start tithing and see what happens in your life. Amen. And He said, I'll open the windows of heaven over you. When the windows of heaven open over your life, that means you now have access to see into the heavenlies, to receive from the heavenlies. Amen. To experience all the blessing of the heavenlies, of the kingdom of heaven. And it's vital, you as a believer, keep those windows open. Now what an inexpensive way to keep the window open is to give God the tithe. Truth is, it doesn't belong to you anyway. God says it's His. The tithe is holy unto Him. Bring you Him His tithe. So that tenth is not even yours to keep. And the cross didn't get to go and do away with the principle that the tenth is His. Amen. That it's okay to be a God robber now. And so people that quit tithing don't understand why things aren't going right in their lives. They don't understand why they're not understanding the Word. They're getting no revelation. And they can't understand because they've got closed windows. Amen. He says, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I look at this in two different ways. To pour you out a blessing means He's going to overfill your life with blessing. Joy, peace, love, joy, right? And natural manifestations. Provision, blessing. Your family saved, your marriage blessed. It extends to every part of your life. He says, pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. You know what happens when you have enough blessing, there's not room enough to receive it? You have so much overflow, you've got to give it to other people. You become a distribution center. But I also like to look at this as pour you out blessing. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something in you God wants to pour out. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wants to pour you out. God wants to take you and make you a blessing center that God can take you, and wherever He sends you, you can be that person to impact other people's lives. There's an anointing on your life that changes the atmosphere wherever you go. There's provision He's put in your hand He wants you to distribute out. There are words He's put in your mouth that are going to change lives. God wants to take you as that pitcher of true holy water and pour you out to change the face of everywhere you go. And He wants to do it in overflowing proportions. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, that's your garden. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, that would be your fields. In other words, your private stuff you're doing, or in other words, your hobbies produce, and your career produces. Everything you put your hand to is producing. But he says, I will rebuke the devourer. I'm here to tell you, my stuff virtually doesn't break down where I've got to get rid of it. Very few breakdowns, other than a motorcycle, that was like breakdown capital of my life. I did more repairs on that bike in a year than I did on cars in the last 20 years, I think. Well, not quite. Our appliances don't break down. Our cars run forever. Everything just lasts and lasts and lasts, so that Patty makes me get rid of appliances after 20 years, even when they still work fine. I don't understand it. The devour rebuked means the curse can't reach your stuff and cause it to be destroyed before the time. Amen? And what a blessing that is. I don't have time to go through the math, but I'll say this, and some of those will, like, I don't understand what he said, and others will get a hold of it. But for most people, their disposable income is a small fraction of what they actually make. In other words, say that in a month you make, you know, $4,000. You make $4,000 a month. Well, the truth is, by the time you pay your rent or mortgage, your utilities, all the other bills you have, just getting basic necessities in the house, by the time you're done, of that $4,000, you might have, you know, $500 you can spend. That's probably generous on non-necessities. You follow me? So out of your total income, only $500 is disposable. So if you have something break down, say that costs $1,000, you got to have $1,000 to replace it. You have to make $8,000 to pay for it. Did you follow me? Because of your money, only $500 of the $4,000 is disposable. You got to make $8,000. It means you got to wait 2 months to get the money to pay. Oh, it's only $1,000. I make this much. Yeah, but you only have this much you get to use. Especially once the tax man takes a portion. So when something breaks down, it costs you a whole lot more than you think it does, because only part of your check is available for you to spend. Did you follow that? We can do the math. You can do your own math and see how much stuff breaking down really costs. It's a bigger impact than you think. And for the devourer to be rebuked in your house has major financial implications. Follow me on this. Way beyond the level of the tithe. People come to me and they'll have something break down. Pastor, I need money. What? I say, are you tithing? Well, no, I can't afford to tithe. Well, apparently you should have been, because what just broke down is tithes for 6 months in your life. And it broke down way ahead of its time, right?
God says, I rebuke the devourer. And all nations shall call you blessed. I want to put it in terms we can, because for us to think all nations should call you blessed, sometimes it's like having to turn America and all these things. I want to put it in terms you can understand. And all of the churches shall call you blessed that aren't tithing. All of the family members that aren't serving God should call you blessed. Or maybe they're in religion and are you following me? They're going to recognize the blessing on your life. So when you become part of a tithing church and all of a sudden the blessing starts manifesting overwhelmingly on your life, people are going to say, surely the hand of God is on you. Because all our family members, both my family and my wife's family, look at us and say, they're the ones God's blessed. When they used to think they're the idiots. You quit your job? Two little kids? It'll be okay, we're tithers. Amen? And 10% then is the same as 10% now. And God will see us through, and He has. When you learn to live by these principles, you're going to become the blessed people. And how much more when that entire river is caving in, everything around is caving in, the world's caving in, and you're on that boat flying up, covered in the blessings of God, are they going to want to be pursuing you, saying, surely the hand of God is on your life? What an opportunity we have. Amen? So that's a portion of the blessing for the tither. It's a spiritual principle. Let's go to the next one. Galatians chapter 6. We were there earlier before the message. Now, we already talked about seed time and harvest, right? In the opening of this series, we're going to get a little more, a bit more specific. Verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? Seed always produces a harvest, whether good or bad. It doesn't say, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever good a man sows, shall he also reap. It says, whatever. If you sow negative in your life, you'll see curse overtake your life. Amen. But I want to back up a verse because it's the same thought carried down into verse 7 that takes place in verse 6. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good works, all good things. Here we have the spiritual principle of giving up. I don't mean giving up by surrender. I mean giving up by the direction you sow seed. Most Christians are looking to give down. They want to take their seed and sow it into lives where they're the less fortunate, where there's the poor, the downtrodden, people in need, and they want to use their seed as benevolence sowing, charitable sowing. And that's really not where your harvest comes out of. We're going to look at that in a minute. Your harvest comes out of sowing into good soil. Not cursed soil. Not soil not serving God, or maybe he's missed God, or whatever the reason somebody's downtrodden. Are you following me? Or even just people in a hardship. That's not where your harvest is going to come out of. Your harvest comes out of sowing into good soil. Now let me ask you a question. Because people have a problem when I say this. People start to, he doesn't want to give to the poor. Yes, I want to give to the poor. We give to the poor. Believe in giving to the poor. But I don't expect my harvest to come out of it. Because we've already talked about how your harvest can be more than finances. It's also anointings. I want to sow into soil that's anointed. That's got something going on in its ministry or life that I want in my life or ministry or this church. But I want to ask you a question. If you were alive in the time of Jesus, how many people would have liked to have supported his ministry? Can anybody here imagine a better harvest than sowing into the ministry of Jesus? I mean, I could ask this to any religious person, anybody out there that, you know, is a giving to the poor person. How many would like to sow into Jesus' ministry? Yeah! Let me ask you a question. Do we believe there's a better harvest you could sow into than his ministry? Not at his time, are you following me? Here's the question. Was Jesus downtrodden? Was he poor? He was wealthy. Was he, you know, underneath the devil's feet and needing help, you know, your help to bring him back up? No, we have no problem believing that Jesus was good soil. It had been the best thing you could have sown into in his day, right? I mean, the woman that brought the two mites in front of him, he said she'll not lose her reward. But then the one that poured oil on his feet and wiped it with her hair, poured oil on him and then wanted to wash his feet and wiped it, he's talking about they'll not lose their reward. Listed in the Word for eternity. Nobody has a problem believing he was good soil. And that would be in who to sow into. But when it comes to today, we still want to give to the poor, to the downtrodden, the one under the curse many times, and not recognize the same principle holds true today. Find good soil. And here in our passage on sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit, to sow to the flesh many times would be to sow into the curse. Versus sowing to somebody with an anointing. I get people mad at me because I won't give into their cursed situation. I think I shared this last week about the individual. Minister got mad at me because I wouldn't sow, you know, I wouldn't give into this guy whose house burnt down needed a trailer. Wanted me to give $100 in anything. Reach in my pocket and give him $100 if I need to. But I said no. I asked him, I said, is he going to church? No. Or is he going to your church? No. Is he going to church? Oh, I don't think so. I said, then I'm not giving into that. He's under the curse. I'm not going to bail him out. And he got mad. He told me. He didn't tell me on the phone he was mad, but I met him a few months later, and he said, I just wanted to tell you, you were right. When you told me you wouldn't give to that guy, I was really kind of offended at it. He said, but we went and bought him that trailer. I found somebody else to give the $100. So we bought a trailer for $1,200, gave him the trailer. Signed it over to him. We went to visit him a week later. He'd sold the trailer and moved out of state. I'm not giving into that. That's not good soil. That's stupid soil. So one of the most liberating things I've ever done is put the church phone number in Pastor Rebecca's name. Because it used to be really bad. She's kind of squelched it some. The word's gotten around. Don't even bother calling Grace Ministry for those. Every day I was getting calls. My car broke down. I need $200 for parking. I said, where are you going to church? Well, we just believe you don't have to go to church. Then you can believe you can get somebody to give you parts too. And I would almost never give into it. The only time I give into it is if the Amen House called me personally and said, we really need somebody to help for this person. It's genuine. I said, fine. I'll write you a check. But the people call me on the phone, they're just going church to church to church under the curse, trying to find, you know, easy targets. There's no harvest in that. All the guys holding up the signs on the side of the road will work for food. Well, there's application opportunities all over town. No, you want to not work for food. I'm not giving into that. Well, you're just hard-hearted. No, I'm wise. Because I sow a lot. All the time. But I choose the soil. And I'm sowing into blessed soil as much as I can. But it says here, communicate. Communicate means to give. It's the same word down in verse 7 about giving. Communicate to those who teach you in all good things. Here Paul says, you should be sowing to those that teach you. So you can tell I'm ministering this to you so you'll give me money, right? Or motorcycles, you know. I'm telling you what the Word says. That Paul lists this as one of the principles of the kingdom you're to sow into. Amen. So I sow into my teachers. Number one person I sow into is my apostle. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the money. I need the harvest. And if you want to really move into the kingdom mentality, you've got to develop that mindset. The farmer doesn't go out in the field, you know, out in his land, and he's got this good soil over here, and he's got rocky soil over here, and he's got thorny soil, and say, you know, it just, I really feel bad for the thorny soil and the rocky soil. They have no crops growing in them whatsoever. And I feel so bad for them, I'm just going to put some seed over there so they don't feel left out. It's not happening. He's going to find the best soil he's got and sow everything he's got into the best soil. You follow me where God tells him. Your best soil is where God tells you, right? And we've got to be the same. We've got to develop the mindset. I'm not looking at what they have. I'm looking at the soil they are. Because I'm after the biggest harvest I can off of my seed, and where I sow it will determine that. And God lists one of our best soil is in the one that teaches us. Amen. Now, it makes me uncomfortable to teach this, but I can't bypass it and do you service because you've got to know where your soil is. Amen. Now let's go on over to the next one, which I want to talk about giving to the poor. So turn to Psalm 109. In fact, I've got several of these we're going to go to. Because everybody asks you, do you give to the poor? Yeah. But that's not my harvest. Psalm 109, let's go to verse number 16. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor needy man. Oh, I need to back up. Let's back up to verse 15. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. I don't want to have my memory cut off. How about you? Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Here God says there's a necessity that we are merciful people. Especially we don't persecute the poor. There are companies that make a living off of persecuting the poor. You want to pay five times the price for something? Go get it at Rent-A-Center. Five times probably the right number, but their interest rates are so high when you do Rent-A-Center, and that's where the poor go because they can't pay full price. We'll just rent it by the week. And by the time you rent to own, by the time you rent it to own, you've paid $500 for a $200 item. I believe it's persecuting the poor. A lot of the checks for cash, do you know the wealthy aren't using that? But their interest rates compounded are over 200% annually. That's crazy if I've heard the numbers right. If not, forgive me, cash for checks. But there are people out there that persecute the poor. I don't want to be involved in that. I'm not going to work for them. Don't want to be connected to it. I want to be somebody that has mercy and helps poor people. But there's a difference between helping poor people and subsidizing the curse. Our number one area of benevolence in here is people in here. And many of you, we've helped in the past. Many of you have had hard situations, had something break down, had something go wrong, and we've helped you and we'll help you. Why? Because you're in a system of blessing, we're going to help you proceed in it. But somebody out there living against God, hates God, wearing the, you know, anti-Christian slogans on their t-shirt, and then they call you when they're in trouble and say, "Will you help me?" I say, "No." Well, you're not loving church. Well, I'm giving to the right things because I'm loving, and I'm not giving to you because I'm loving. Why would I support that which is against love? The love of God. You understand? Go over to Psalm 112. We're going to look at several of these real quick. Psalm 112, let's go to verse number 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth. He shall melt away and the desire of the wicked shall perish. So here we see without question that we are to give to the poor. And God says when you do that, I believe it. He's saying it demonstrates that you're established in righteousness. Have no question in it. I believe in giving to the poor. Just not sowing into the curse. Now, there could be people that have come under the curse. You know, people don't go to church and the tornadoes hit their house or whatever, you know. And sow into it. There are times to demonstrate the compassion of God. But there's a difference between demonstrating the compassion of God and being a sucker to every con man out there. You know, Hurricane Sandy hit up in New York. Pastor Dan Stratton was receiving offerings. This church sent him $1,000 for Hurricane Sandy relief. But you know what he was doing? He was personally, his church, going in there and determining what to do with the money. So we want to have compassion. We want to be people of mercy. We want to help people that are in need. But just because you come to me with a story doesn't mean I buy it. I couldn't tell you how many times, especially when I was assistant pastor in Frankfurt, the people would come to the church, come in and say, here's the story. Here's the common story. If you want to know what it is, here's the normal story. I just started a new job. I haven't got my paycheck yet, and I need a deposit for my utilities, or my car broke down and I can't get to work. I need this part for my car or whatever. And as soon as I get my first paycheck, I'll come and reimburse you. And invariably, I'll say, they'll be sitting in my office. And this happened so many times, I couldn't count. They'll be sitting in my office. I'll say, "Where'd you start work at?" And they'll say, "Well, I started at Wendy's." Wendy's is a common one. Wendy's, everybody starts work at Wendy's. I'll say, "Which one?" They'll tell me. I said, "Wait a minute. I'll get the phone book out and look at Wendy's. I'll call them." And as I'm calling, they're over squirming. I said, "I've got such in my office. They said they just started a job with you. You know, they're getting paid in a week. I'm just calling to verify they want some money." They said, "We never heard of that person. I don't work here." And I'll look at them with that, you know, like, "You just lied to me. Look." I got to go out the door. 98% of all people come in are conning with those same stories. And they want to tug on your compassionate heartstrings. Usually they have some tears can form up and everything else until you call them on it. Had a guy come in here one time before Christmas saying, "You know, I don't have any money and I'm trying to get some money for my kids' Christmas and such like that. And, you know, could you help me with something so I can get some gifts for me?" I said, "No, I'm not helping you." "Well, doesn't your church support the poor?" I said, "Yeah, but not you." Something like that. I said, "We choose who. We have, you know, the channels we go through, and then we do the angel tree and all these things." I said, "You know, you can go to them." And cuss me going out the door, got in his car, and as he drove, his whole car was piled full of stuff. He'd been going church to church and getting stuff. Probably selling his garage sale. So you've got to hear God in these things. But God does tell us to help the poor. But you get to find out, you get to decide who it is. The common don't get, I'm kind of on a soapbox here. You choose who to help. You can find poor people to help. There's ministries out there. You want to help poor people? We'll send the money to Ghana. Praise God. You talk about Pastor Sunu, his church could use everything we can send them. And they'll put it to good use. They have signs all over Ghana because they have no welfare system. They have signs up, people hand-painted. If you don't work, you don't eat. And everybody works. They've shut the con man system down over there because everybody would be a con man. They won't even get to beggars. It's encouraging laziness. That's where you go. Amen. We're people of mercy. But we're not people's punching bags. Nor their suckers. And you're well able to hear God and know who to give into. I need to speed this up. Proverbs 19. Now here's a key one. Proverbs chapter 19. Let's go to verse number 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. Now here God says, he that has pity or helps the poor lends to God. How many like to lend God some money? You better just give him some, wouldn't it? But God says, when you give to the poor, you lend to me. And God says, and I will repay it. Now, Mike, if I gave you $50 because you had a need and you turn around the next day and you repaid me, how much money would you give me back? You give me back $50 if you repaid me. Repay means you get back what you gave. And God says, I'll repay it. He didn't say anything about it 100-fold. He said anything about a harvest, an increase. He just says, you're demonstrating a heart of mercy. And when you give to him, I'll make sure you get it back. But that's not your soil. That's not your harvest field. When you give to the poor, you're demonstrating you have a heart of compassion. You're demonstrating you're giving without a reward mentality. Most people give because they want something out of it. In the natural world, when people give a big gift, then they have to name the stadium after them or the library after them, or there's a reward out of it. When you give to the poor, there's no reward. No poor people are going to put up a plaque in your honor. You're walking downtown and graffiti on the side of the wall. Mike Lambros gave me $50. Sign. Some poor downtrodden guy. You don't need recognition out of it. You know what happens when you get a lot of poor people? You get put on the list, and you get a line. Amen. That's why we don't get many calls. They took us off the list. The loosely affiliated list floating through town. Did you know all the people that run the system know which churches are easy touches? They know. They'll share. Here's what I told them. Tell them the same story. And you get the same stories. Wow, somebody just told me that same thing yesterday. You got this. Isn't God wild? Yeah. God says, I believe it's a pure heart that does it, but God says, I'll repay it. But you don't worry. See where he says, that's 100-fold, 30, 60, 100-fold return. Because it's not good soil. It's a loan. And what farmer, listen to me, what farmer would ever go out in the field and plant corn when he knows the stocks only produce one kernel in return? I sowed 50 bushels of corn into my field and every plant produced. How much did you get back? 50 bushels? You mean each stalk produced one kernel? Yeah, isn't it awesome? That would be a miracle. But he wouldn't be in farming very long. And you're not going to be in God's system of increase very long if you're singularly focused on giving to the poor. You better find good soil to sow into. Amen. So I sow into the ministries I see have a revelation I want to activate. They have anointings I want to access. They have breakthroughs I want to enter into myself. Amen. I'm sowing into what I believe are the best soils I can find. We as a church do that. We sow into miracle ministries. Amen. Plus Gideon's and Amen House and other things, right? Proverbs 22. Are you getting anything out of this? Proverbs 22. Let's go to verse number 22. Rob not the poor, because he is poor. Neither will oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. My goodness. God says he will plead the cause of one that oppresses the poor. I want to be on God's good side. I want to be one that's being a blessing to the poor. But again, I believe God puts in our hands to do it by our terms. Otherwise, the little foxes will suck away everything you have. A lot of times they're not poor. They're just lazy. There, I said it. Now listen. Please don't take what I said wrong. Just because somebody's poor doesn't mean they're lazy. A lot of poor people are some of the hardest working people I know. Amen. They're just going through a time of transition. But there are a whole lot of people out there that are running the system that just don't want to work. Is anybody offended by this? Let me know if you're offended. But because I deal with it. We deal with it almost on a daily basis. And the scams out there are all over the place. And you gotta be sensitive to hear God. The reason I'm saying is, don't run out and say, Pastor Jack said everybody that's poor is they're just lazy. I didn't say that. Because the truth is, my wife and I probably live 15 years under the poverty level. My income for 2 years was zero, other than what I was taking out of savings. And after that, I made $400 a week. With two kids. That's not very much. And that was when we got paid. There was a lot of weeks we didn't get paid. And we had to believe in money. Believe for bills to get paid. And I quit my job in 1993. And Patty and I have never not made a payment. A few times, a few days late, we'd never had a utility turned off. God's always shown up. He's always shown up. We'd sow seed. Here'd come God through. And that's a miracle. Because we didn't live, you know, in a cardboard box. We lived in a nice house. So I know what it's like to be poor. And I accuse anybody to ever call me lazy. So I know you can be. You know, I would never call myself poor. You follow me? But as far as income, we were poor. People on, you know, government assistance were making more than I was making a lot of times. Especially months we didn't get paid. I know what it's like to work hard and it not be there. And we're to help those people. But other people realize they have no self-esteem and even integrity will work a system. to suck out everything they can. I'm not helping that. Paul said, he that will not work, neither shall he eat. Amen. So if I ever help the guy that says, we'll work for food, I'll say, come on, I'll get you some work. I got an old church that needs some work. You know, they won't do that because they have to leave their corner position. How much you give me? Well, you'll find out when we're done. I'll pay you according to your work. Pays too much to hold the sign. Amen. One more verse. Proverbs 28. Now you're going to like this one. Verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. We're not everybody's sucker, but we are looking for opportunities to help the poor, and we'll not hide our eyes from it. We're not going to say, I can't afford that. We're going to help. And God says, if you do it, you will never lack. You help people through their hard times, God will help you. And God says, you will find out that I'll see you through your times of challenge. But it doesn't say, does not lack, doesn't say you'll be overflowing with blessing. It just means you won't be on the street. Amen. And I believe helping the poor is one of the steps we take to move into abundance. But it must be required with sowing soil into good soil as well. Seed into good soil. Have you got anything out of this today? What we do with seed is vital to going to what God has for us. And I'm convinced you can't go into the glory without becoming a ready, willing, and even active sower. Because if God can't get to your seed, He can't get to your soul. If He can't get to your soul, He can't take you into the glory. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word. You seal it in our hearts and our minds and our understanding. You cause us to rise up and be people. Faith, people of increase, people of great expectation, people that stay in motion. Teach us to activate all these principles, to manifest all Your power, to produce all Your glory. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing, and we'll see you.